Welcome to the PR Leads Teleseminar on New Publishing Models. This is Dan Janelle, your fearless PR leader. Welcome to our session. For those of you on the call who are PR Leads clients, welcome back. PR is a great way to publicize your books, and PR Leads is probably the fastest and easiest way to get publicity to promote your books. For those of you who are new on the call, PR Leads is a great service that's been around since 2001. We've helped more than 3,000 authors and experts get publicity in daily news. Newspapers ranging from the New York Times and Wall Street Journal to major magazines like Marie Claire, Ladies Home Journal, Oprah's Magazine, and everything in between. So if you're an expert in health and wellness or leadership and management or relationships and dating or business and finance, come to www.prleads.com and see exactly how it works. Because when we get leads from reporters, we get upwards of 100 leads a day from reporters, we send the correct ones to you, the ones that are most relevant, so you can see the reporter's name and respond directly to the reporter with information that can help them. And if we can help you, that's what we're in business to do. We're also in business to help our authors and experts get more value out of the service by learning about other business models and other tools and services that can help them, and that's why we do our teleseminars. And I'm delighted to welcome Mitchell Levy from happyabout.info, who's going to give us a new model about the book publishing industry. Welcome, Mitchell.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Mitchell, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk a little bit about what your company does, and we'll focus on how your business model differs from the New York publishing model, as well as self-publishing, and we'll also have a number of case studies of some of your successful clients, and we'll go deeper into a number of the actual ins and outs of publishing. So let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your varied background.
Oh, sure. Thank you. I've been living and working in Silicon Valley for the last 20 years and came out here like a lot of people do, thinking the streets were paved with gold, and joined a startup. And my first startup failed. It wasn't, obviously it wasn't mine, but we had three interesting business models, and only two of them didn't work, and only one was great. Went from there to Sun Microsystems and spent 9 years. Did a lot of varied work there in IT, financial services, and ended up for the last 4 years running the e-commerce component of Sun Supply Chain, which was $3.5 billion at the time. And what happened was I was able to make a whole lot of connections with folks in Silicon Valley and around the world, and doing that through the things at Sun and the outside activities. And for the following 9-10 years, I was affectionately known as Mr. E-commerce. And so I was the guy who ended up consulting on 100 different startup companies. I've done strategic consulting for 1,000 different firms, from small startups to multi-billion dollar mail order companies. But when the dot bust happened, what happened is the word e-commerce wasn't exciting anymore. And so I ended up repositioning myself and ended up doing a number of things, which included starting executive education programs, starting a group called CEO Networking, where we get CEOs to bounce ideas off each other, and a lot of fun activities. And during the dot-com days, I also was involved with Comdex and booked 350 speakers and created 70 courses. So I've done a lot of varied things. But what happened around 2004 timeframe, I'm thinking, well, I don't want to do a service company directly anymore. I'd like to have something that's a product company. And I'd like to do it in an industry that really has not yet been transformed by the internet. And what I ended up thinking about was publishing. Book publishing in particular has not been transformed by the internet. And so around 2005 is when we first started publishing. We currently have 50-plus books, and we have a number of different models and approaches that are different than both self-publishing and New York publishers, and happy to talk more about that.
Okay, so you got into publishing. Tell us about Happy Info, and it's happyabout.info, not .com. So just to make sure that people don't make that mistake as I trip over my tongue.
Oh, I can tell you, in 2005, Dan, the first radio interview I did, it's happyabout.info because I just thought it's an information company. We need to do that. We have the URL happyabout.com, so if you get there, we'll be indirect. You'll get directed. But the first radio interview, the announcer gets on the air and says, well, come to happyaboutinfo.com. And so, of course, that night I went out and got the URL, and that redirects to happyaboutthatinfo as well. What our model is we are both quick to market and we pay higher royalties. And that's sort of the direct thing that you can compare against sort of a New York publisher and so forth. But I think probably more relevant as well is that we are looking for partners. So we're not we don't look for the vendor-vendee relationship. There's no cost to publish books with us. We're looking for people who want to excel. We're really looking for either professional service providers or companies that need to establish thought leadership. And what books can do for them is drive both thought leadership, lead generation, awareness, credibility for them themselves. Those are our authors that we do very well with. And our job is to help you be successful. And we do it through a very nice, very friendly process that's very collaborative. And you will end up with a book, a product, a result, or I'd like to call it an asset. You will end up with an asset that you could use to drive more business, as well as, if you're lucky, we could sell a whole lot of them and make money. And so with our books, some of our books, which were just produced as nice assets for companies, continue to sell in the marketplace and produce nice royalty checks on a quarterly basis.
Great. So that's the 1,000-foot overview. Let's drill down to some specifics now about your business model versus, say, the traditional publisher, and then we'll also ask questions about how it compares to self-publishing, because you're sort of in that middle ground that is new for most people, certainly new to me. So let's talk about what a New York publisher does and how your model is different from what they do and how you offer more benefits than they do.
Sure. The best way to think about a New York publisher, for those that are familiar with the venture capital community, the VC community, New York publishers are very similar to that. If they publish 10 books, they're looking for one home run, 2 to 3 singles, and 6 books will fail. Now, by fail, there's an arbitrary barometer of how much money the New York publisher needs to take in order to have some sort of profit. So if your book sold 2 to 4,000 copies with a New York publisher, that would be considered failure, because about 3 to 5 to 6,000 represents a really good book that's kind of a good single or double for your New York publisher. Occasionally you'll get the 10,000-plus books, and those are the home runs. And what the New York publisher is doing is they care about you if you are going to produce the home run. So as soon as you look like someone who is not going to, hit it out of the ballpark, they're going to drop you. And so that's the frustration people have. If you go to a publisher like that, you typically have to go through an agent. That might take you 2 to 3 to 4 months to find an agent. Then the agent will shop you around. It might take another 3, 4, 6 months before you get the book. And then let's say all of a sudden you've signed the contract. Manuscript's done. You've signed the contract. It's still going to take another 18 to 24 months before you see the book on the bookshelf. And along the way, by the way, the types of things you're going to do are things that they've done in the past to help produce those home runs for them. So they may not be beneficial for you, but they're beneficial for what they think is necessary. So how we're different is that the first thing we do is we ask you to fill out 6 questions. And later on, we can talk about what the 6 questions are. We'll review the 6 questions with you, and we'll give you some high-level strategy thoughts and consulting on how the book fits with your model and what you need to do. But let's assume we want to go forward and we say yes. The next step, we put a contract out, and you guys sign the contract, and that's in place. Once you send us the manuscript, what happens is we'll send it off to a copy editor, but instead of coming back with an absolutely clean copy for you, what we do is we'll come back with a Microsoft document that has Word turned on, tracking changes turned on. So you'll see the actual changes made, and we'll ask you to accept or deny those. A lot of times people have books that came back, and their copy editors just completely changed the meaning of the text. But we don't want to do that. We want you to be involved because, once again, it's really your book. And about that time, we'll also have folks go out and do the cover design. And I think one of the things that's interesting about that is we let you drive what the cover is going to look like. There's some parameters that fit within either Happy About, or we have a number of other imprints in the publishing business. It's divisions. We have a number of divisions of books, so there are certain ways that books look depending on the imprint. But we let you drive how that gets done. And once again, once the cover's done, you get to approve it to see if it works. And a lot of times, the biggest war stories I hear from people is that it took too long, and then they ended up with a book that they weren't proud of at the end of the day. So I think the best comparison is that they're looking for the home run, and they're looking for what's going to make them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for, and what we care about, is we want somebody who this book is going to help them get to the next level. And if we're lucky, you know, we may make a whole lot of money on the book, but really the book is not where you're making money. You're making money on speaking. You're making money on consulting. You're making money on selling products. And I've got a ton of test cases that'll tell you about that.
Great. We'll go to those test cases in a few minutes, but I really want to underscore something that you mentioned here, and that is the whole issue of control. You know, I've had 6 books published by John Wiley & Sons, which is, you know, a major national and international publisher, and I was lucky enough to ask for and receive approval on the cover, or at least contribution to the cover, which they rarely give, but I'd written a number of books that had earned out, and they, in other words, I made money for the publisher, so they gave me at least, you know, the right of first refusal on book cover. And they came back with a book cover design for a book on internet marketing that was really pretty spacey and far out and had absolutely nothing to do with anything involving the internet or marketing or anything, and I rejected it. And I just thought it was completely inappropriate, and, you know, fortunately they went with me, but most people don't have that luxury. And ironically, a few months later, I saw that same piece of clip art as the cover for a CompUSA Sunday ad section in the newspaper. And can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to have my book and that ad having the same artwork? It would just be, you know, devastating, because, you know, you spend hundreds and hundreds of hours or thousands of hours writing a book, and then to see it trivialized to be like an ad would just really be disgusting. So having control is an important point. You mentioned the comparison versus the traditional New York publisher, and your advantage is the speed to market and greater control and greater access over the work. What about on the other side? What about self-publishing? Because there are people who are considering that, or they hear about Dan Pointer and all the great work he's done, and are just curious, you know, where do you line up versus self-publishing?
Oh, sure, and Dan's a great guy, and there's a number of phenomenal people who have done good things with self-publishing, so I don't want to say no to that. Let's do the quick difference. One, we don't charge money. And two, we are really your partner. So by that, we help you be successful. We have good cover designers, good copy editors, good layout folks, and we do some amount of marketing for your book, and we also have a brand that gives your book credibility. What happens a lot is people will go to the self-publishing companies like iUniverse and Lulu, and they'll shell out some money. And the problem is that in a lot of cases, anyone who's in the know is going to see who published the book, and they're going to say, oh, well, hey, it's self-published. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because a lot of self-publishers have done a good job of marketing themselves and putting the books in the hands of their prospects. And that's what we're going to help you do. So if you do it yourself, that's fine, and I'm not going to stop or encourage people not to do it, because the most important thing in my mind is to have a book, because a book gives you so much value, so much credibility. But what I will ask you is, what is the value of your time? Because that's a really important component. You know, if you're producing a book, and the book is a great book, you know, something that sells, you know, 100,000 copies plus, is typically a book that takes 1,000 to 2,000 hours to write. A good book, and a lot of our books, I would classify under the good book range, takes 100 to 200 hours or 100 to 300 hours to write. Those books, you're going to spend 100 to 300 hours. It depends on how long it takes you to make that happen. To do the self-publishing piece, the amount of time you're going to spend on making the book work, making it available, and all of that work, you're going to spend another 100, 200, maybe even 300 hours learning the industry, trying to make things work for you. And so once again, I go back to the question is, what is the value of your time? Because if you've spent 100 or 200 or 300 hours doing something that you could outsource to a firm like ours, who are going to do it all for you and do it right and do it and put you in a brand that you can be proud of, then you have to say, well, how much more money am I going to make? Because this is a lot of people say, well, all right, Levy, we go to Happy About, and this is the royalty percentage we get with you, and that's versus us getting 100% if we do it ourselves. Well, let's say you are like your traditional book in the United States, and I think you were shocked when you and I talked about this, Dan, but the average book, business book in the United States, 98% of them sell 500 or less copies.
Yeah, let me repeat that because I couldn't believe it. I thought you meant to say 5,000, and you actually did mean 500 copies. Is this from a self-published or is this from a New York publisher?
Well, this is the average. If you look at the statistics, and you know, I apologize off the top of my head, I can't tell you which firm did the research. But this is your average. This is research done on all books sold within the United States under the business category.
Mm-hmm.
And the average business book sells 500 copies. By the way, the average book on the self-publishers sell 40. So that's even worse.
40 okay. copies.
40 copies.
Wow, that's a lot of copies in people's garages.
Well, if you're gonna end up taking a book and you put it on the self-publisher and you hope that because it's there, it's going to sell, you will be, unfortunately, sorely mistaken. So what happens is let's say you sell 500 books, your average, and you would make, let's say, for instance, if you use our model and we, you know, if we did that, maybe we wrote you a royalty check for $3,000 after the book is done. And let's say if you did it yourself, you might have made $5,000 or $6,000. So now we're talking about an incremental difference of $2,000 to $3,000 for 1 to 300 hours of your time. So you have to ask yourself, is your time worth more than $10 to $20 an hour? And if you actually had an extra 100 to 300 hours in your life, what would you be able to do with it if you already had the book in hand?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my, you know, if somebody wants to do it themselves, you know, you want to sell your house yourself, a lot of people do that. Could you have gotten more money, a lot more, than if you used a realtor? Well, it depends on the realtor, of course, but most realtors will say yes. So if you want to publish yourself, then what you want to call yourself is a book publisher. Whereas if your real job is a speaker or a presenter or a consultant or you're selling a product, if that's your job, then you want to really stay focused on doing what you do well and outsource to a firm like ours who will do what we do well. And that is make your book something you can be proud of and put it in the marketplace in a way that has high respect.
Okay. So I think we're pretty clear on the different value propositions of what you offer versus self-publishing versus the traditional publishing. Let's take a little step sideways now. Can you tell us some case studies about your clients and the success they've had? Because, you know, when you look at the models, authors don't get rich by publishing books unless their name is John Grisham. So how is it that authors get rich from writing books, and what is the value add for having a book?
Oh, it's absolutely phenomenal. One of my favorites is Laura Lowell. She has a book called 42 Rules of Marketing. By the way, for those that are listening and are interested, the 42 Rules series is going to be tremendously big. And so let me take a slight tangent. It's an opportunity to focus on something and say there's 42 rules of X. And you go in and you focus on writing each of those rules, and the way we've structured it, the first and last rule is the same. So basically you're writing 40 rules, and each rule is about 500 to 600 words long. So you're basically putting 40 blog posts together and you got a book.
Hmm.
So that's how straightforward it is to do. Laura Lowell is a marketing expert, and what she did is with her book, she tripled her income in 3 weeks. That's 3x her income. Now, today, I talked to her last week, it's currently at quadruple what it was. So she was able to use her book, and what she did was what a lot of people do with books, and that is when she was writing the book, she basically told people, hey, I'm writing this book, and if you're interested, sign up to this website, and I'll send you out a rule a week. So that was a great way to collect email names. And then when the book was getting close, she actually started some speaking engagements. And once again, she would also say, hey, sign up to my website. The book's coming out in 2 to 3 months. Sign up now, and I'll send you the ebook for free. You know, a number of techniques that would allow her to collect email addresses.
Mm-hmm.
When the book was out, she had previously created mailing labels for 200 prospects and clients. The book came out. She stuffed the envelopes, shipped them off. And what was fascinating, one of the clients that she now has that she didn't have before, she had been calling on for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for 2 years, they were polite. They weren't rude to her. But 2 weeks after she sent the book, they called her and said, hey, let's have lunch. So that's one example, just the credibility of her being an author. By the way, did she change anything? Was she a different person in any way? Not really. Right? I mean, as when you're done publishing a book, you know, it's not much different than before. On the other hand, you spent a lot of time focusing on a specific topic, and the world respects the word called author.
Mm-hmm.
One of our guys, Mike Gosby, he has a book called Marketing Campaign Development, spoke to him last week, and he told me he just closed 3 new clients with his book. So once again, these are clients he would not have had otherwise by closing. I have a white paper, and we'll talk about how to get that, but one of the folks I talked to was a guy by the name of Mark Bauhaus, who was at Sun Microsystems. And when I asked him about the value of the book, what they did during the dot-com boom is Sun actually wrote a book on how to actually implement, you know, their hardware and software platform in a way that was efficient. He was part of the consulting organization. And so let me read a quote for you from him. It says, using the book for education and sales doubled our prospect stream and resulted in tens of millions of dollars in incremental business.
Hmm.
Tens of millions of dollars. So what's fascinating to me is the value, and bring me back, I'm going to diverge for a little bit, but bring me back to some more examples, is the value that the world puts on the word author. So I'll have to ask, if you hear the word newspaper, or hear the job newspaper reporter, or the job magazine writer, you know, they have good connotations associated with them. These are people that are making reasonable amount of money, but they're spending, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week pulling, you know, working really hard and making okay money, but not necessarily great. Now, if you think about a magazine like Business Week or The Economist and how much time and effort is put into a single issue, it's certainly significantly more than 100 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about an author that spends 100 hours to put a book together. And then what you do is you have an issue with The Economist and that person's book sitting on a desk. Now, when The Economist first comes out, the value of The Economist, you know, you say that, hey, that's pretty good. 6 months from now or a year from now, The Economist goes into the waste paper basket, and the book stays around. And the value that the person called author gets is significantly higher than the value of the name, you know, newspaper reporter, magazine writer, e-book writer doesn't have the same value, blogger, although well-respected, doesn't have the same value, self-published author doesn't have the same value. So being an author from a respected publishing company still carries in this world a lot of respect, and it helps drive business. We have another 42 Rules book. It's called The 42 Rules of Cold Calling Execs, and that book is not yet out, and the author has already picked up new business because of her being an author. She's being asked to speak at conferences, and she's got new clients because she is the author of this book that's coming out.
Those are great case studies. Did you have any others? I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
No, I was going to say, you've got a couple. You know, I've got more, but I'm sure you've got a couple that you've bumped into in your years.
Well, I think the common theme here that you make is that the traditional publishing model is that an author gets about 15% of the net of what a publisher gets, which is 50% of the cover price of the book. So if Barnes & Noble sells a book for $25, they'll send $12.50 to the publisher. You'll get 15% of that as your royalty. So you're making $1, $1.50 a book, and you're saying, like, how can I get rich on this? And the answer is, you probably won't. But if you have a book, then you can turn into speaking engagements and get, you know, $2,000, $4,000, $5,000, $7,000 a speech. Or if you're a consultant, you're picking up new clients at $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 a client. And that's really where the money pays off. So it becomes incumbent upon someone to use a publishing model like yours as a way to get a book into the market without putting up any upfront money from self-publishing. And we didn't talk about the cost of that, but I was at a seminar the other day, and the speaker was saying that some industry association said that it costs about $35,000 for someone to self-publish a book. And they might be playing a little fast and loose here, you know, raising variables and dollars here and there. But it ain't cheap, no matter what, no matter what.
Well, that must be the time value of their money, of their investment. Because it costs us a whole lot less.
I would imagine so. Okay, so the real value is in having a piece of credibility that gets you out there, that lets you justify your fees, your expenses, and separates you from the competition.
You know, we have an author, her name's Kimberly Weifling. She has a great book called Scrappy Project Management. Her goal with the book, and she's achieved this, is to be one of the top 10 books in the project management category in the world. And she's achieved that. And how she uses that, she has a large number of Japanese clients who highly respect that she is one of the top 10 project management authors in the world.
Hmm.
And so it's another series we have called the Scrappy series, and that's a really nice book. One of our authors, Jason Alba, did the book I'm on LinkedIn, Now What? And he liked the experience so much that he did another book with a co-author called I'm on Facebook, Now What? Now, originally, what was interesting with Jason is he started a blog, and the difference between just the regular Jason Alba and the blogging Jason Alba is he started being asked to speak at conferences. All of a sudden, he did the book. And not only did his conference appearance request increase significantly, but also he started to get calls from reporters because he was now the published LinkedIn expert.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about Jason's book, and this is where you know occasionally you hit the lucky thing, I originally was thinking that, you know, Jason's book would be the average book. We'd sell 500 copies, I'd be happy. By the way, at 500 copies, I'm fairly profitable, and I write a nice royalty check to the author. We sold 600 copies alone in February. We sold 400 copies in March. And so with his book, we are actually turning a point where we're actually making very good money for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the model, which is different than the New York guys, instead of a small royalty, although in general you're not looking to make money off your books, we typically do it based on a profit percentage. And we try to keep our cost really low, and what you're getting paid is a piece of the pie. And it's just a nice model because, once again, it's along the lines of the collaboration that we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. Did we talk about the percentages and the royalties and such like that? I can't recall.
Not really, and a lot of it depends on what happens, and why don't I give away something to get people thinking more about it, and why don't we give away the white paper?
Sure.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about the steps of the book and the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What I'd like to do for everyone listening is we have a $99 white paper that we give away, and it's basically called Driving Revenue Through Thought Leadership, and so I'd be happy for people to come and pick that up. And what I've also done is I do speeches, PowerPoint presentations, obviously, unfortunately, on the value of books. So I will also include a PDF of the PowerPoint presentation, Why Books. And there's one other thing that we do, and that is in order to publish with us, there's really one simple step to start. It's not a 70 to 80 page book proposal, which, by the way, is pretty close to the size of our books when we publish. We typically do 100 to 120 pages. But I have 6 questions. And I want you to answer the 6 questions, and that's all I need to do to make a decision of whether or not we publish you. And I'll include the 6 questions as well. So if you go to our homepage, which is happyabout.info, on the homepage on the right-hand side is a paragraph. It starts with, if you're a large corporation or a small business that wants to create thought leadership, let us help you. Please read How Books. And you'll notice that the Read How Books are underlined. If you click on that, you'll get to a page where you get to buy the Delivering Revenue Through Thought Leadership white paper. Click on the Buy Now button, and it'll bring you to a shopping cart. The one step you need to do at this stage is you still need to say check out. And then when you go to check out, you have the opportunity to type in a coupon. And the coupon that I originally created was called Thought Leadership. No space, just the word Thought Leadership. But based on your request, and Thought Leadership will still work, but you could also type in the coupon called Publicity. And that was thanks to you, Dan. Hmm. So if you type, you know, depending on which one you want to type, you can type in Thought Leadership or Publicity, and it'll turn the price from 99 to zero, and then you can pick up the white paper.
Great. And what are they going to find in the white paper? How will that help them?
So it's a tremendous opportunity to read more. I spent time looking at what does it actually take to what do books really do. So let me tell you the sort of the key takeaways from the white paper. First one, books are easy to create and share. And in my mind, it, you know, 100 to 150 hours is going to be the absolute best investment you can make in your life. Number two, you can quickly share a vision of the world that embodies your product or service. So you can think about how the world can look and what can you do to share with people, to share your vision, and people can buy it. Because it's, you know, it's not the same as a white paper, which people think are sort of a testimonial, sort of a selling point. A book is still a nice, credible way to share your thought process. Number three, it's easy to show how your customers are using your product or service. Once again, it's not the same as a selling piece, but if you do case studies of how people are implementing things in a certain way, other people want to hear about that. It's a great tool for that.
Okay. I didn't mean for you to go over the white paper point by point. I was looking for a headline of thing.
At the end of the day, it's 10-plus pages, quick read, spends you 15, 20 minutes. I've got great feedback on it. It's just going to talk to you about why are books important, what is the value you can get out of it, and what's the steps and processes you need to do to deliver one that's going to be beneficial for you.
Great. I don't want to steal the thunder of people actually not going to the site and downloading it for you. Okay, cool. So let's talk about those six questions that you have. You know, what are the various steps that are needed to become an author?
Well, I think for us, you know, the first thing I'm going to ask you, obviously, who are you and what's your background? So just sort of how you opened up this teleseminar. I want to know a little bit about who the person are, where they're coming from, you know, what do they think about things in life. The next thing is what's the title of the book and a quick paragraph summary of it. And that's, I want to get a feeling for what the book is going to deliver. And a lot of times I'm hoping that the title and the paragraph gel, and that I read the title and I know exactly what it is and what it's going to drive for me. Another question is the table of contents. A lot of times, if the book is done, it's easy to do. If you're not really sure of the table of contents, this is a place that's okay to say, I'm still in development. But if you have the table of contents, and what I often do, what I'm really doing with the table of contents is I'm just seeing logic. I'm making sure that the title and the description of the book are delivered through a table of contents. The next question for you, this is one that's very important to me. And that is, what do you want to get out of the book, you as author? And what I'm looking for here is I'm looking for somebody to say, well, this is going to help my speaking career, or this is going to get me new business, or this is going to get me employed. Whatever the specific thing that the author is looking for, I want to know how I personally or how my company can help them be successful and how this tool, this asset, this book is going to do it for them. Sometimes, and this is kind of scary, you get people who say, well, I want to make $1 million, or I want to be a billionaire, or I actually had a ex-high-tech exec from, you know, one of the branded companies we know, and in that question, what she said, well, I have a children's book, I wrote the words, it's the best thing since sliced bread, and I need a publisher who wants to spend $100,000 on graphics, $250,000 advertising the book because this is going to make me a whole lot of money. So obviously, it's a great way for me to tell where there's a disconnect. What I'm looking for are people who are honest and sincere and who are really thinking that this is an asset to get them to the next level. The next question, and this is question five, is what does the book do for the audience? Mm-hmm. Once again, I want to make sure that they know who the target audience is and where they're going to benefit them. And the final question, and this is probably the most important to me, is how does this person want to help create market awareness for the book? And this is an area where, you know, it's the cross between the self-publisher and the New York publisher. Mm-hmm. Publishers typically don't spend a lot of time and money marketing books, unless you're the Grisham or the J.K. Rowling's or, you know, some huge brand. They don't spend time and energy marketing a book. You have to do it. You know your customer. You know your audience. You're more passionate about it than anyone else is. And so what I want to know is, how are you going to reach that audience? We have an author, and I certainly won't mention his or her name, that the book came out, and whenever I take this person and put him in front of a crowd, he does phenomenal. Uh-oh, now you know the sex. He does phenomenal. However, he's not done any marketing for himself. He doesn't tell anyone the book exists. And so it's not the type of author in general that I'm excited about having. I want someone who's proud of their book. He's proud of his book. He's just not proud of standing up in front of or setting up the marketing to stand in front of a group of people. And what I want to hear is somebody who is going to do whatever it takes to help drive success of their book, because my best authors are those that wake up in the morning and say, you know, I need to drive my business. I need to drive a speaking business, or I need to get more consulting today, or I need to increase the amount of products that I'm selling. And they say to themselves, hey, I have a book. Let me push this book on the market because it's going to drive these other things for me. Those are authors that do well. And so it's very easy for me to see when I read the marketing plan that a person has in the book of whether or not they're hoping that they have a book that sells by itself, or if they're serious about doing what's necessary to help drive success of their book.
Hey, let me interrupt you right there. I mean, if there are many things that people could do to publish or rather to market their books. If you were to focus on like the top one or two things that have the biggest bang for the buck in your experience, what would you say they are?
You know, that is the age-old question, and I'll bet you my answer tomorrow is going to be different than my answer today and certainly different from my answer yesterday. You know, let me give you two. One is something that authors can do themselves, and that is having a good social brand. You know, people know you in the marketplace. You are potentially an active participant in online user groups. You have a good LinkedIn profile. You might participate in Facebook and Twitter and other locations. In your local community, you're actively participating in the types of physical clubs that people have. If you have a good, and this is called platform, if you have a good platform, that's a great way because people already know you, trust you, and so it's much easier to get to drive things off of that platform. For those that don't have a platform, you could build one. It takes time. You should start at the time you start writing the book. You could start building a platform, and there's a number of great books and techniques on how to do that, and those are some of the things we share with our authors. But one of the best things to think about is who's your sponsor. If you don't have a platform, then you might say to yourself, well, what can I write about where either the content itself, like a book on LinkedIn or a book on Facebook with millions and millions of people, or is there something I could write about where this company that I know well would be happy to share with their customers? Because one of the ways you actually really do make money with books is the corporate sale, where corporations are buying the book to share with their employees. And that's a great way to make money. So one thing to think about is who's the sponsor that can help drive success of the book. And by sponsor, it's not a monetary sponsor up front to pay for the book, but it's rather someone who benefits also by having the book in the marketplace. Those are really the top two. There's a ton of other techniques and campaigns, speaking, radio speaking, being quoted in the radio, being quoted in newspapers and magazines, the types of leads that you can generate from a PR leads to get to get press review of your book or being quoted as an expert, and your book is taglined along with that. Those are phenomenal ways to get press. But what you really are looking for is, it'd be great if something just works for you and continually works for you. So that's either your social network or somebody else's who helps drive success of your book.
Cool. Okay, great. I had interrupted you. You had a list of 5 or 6 questions that you run by all of your potential authors. What was the next question that you asked people?
No, we actually got through them. I didn't number them all. But what's nice is if you're not listening to them all or paying attention to them, it's really, they all come in the download. So if you download the white paper, you can get all the questions. But it's really, I think the thing to think about, it's not the same as a traditional 70 to 80 page book proposal. It's the 5 to 6 page response. Sometimes as little as 2 to 3 pages. And I'll run them by real quickly just so you hear. I care who the author is, their bio, what the book is, what the table of contents is, what they personally want to get out of the book, what they think they're going to deliver to the audience, and how are they going to make their audience know that the book exists. Pretty simple stuff, pretty basic. I think the way to think about our company and what I'm doing is it's not a combative process. We are not the enemy. It is not a vendor-vendee relationship here. We look at all our authors as partners. Some of our partners we just do one book with. Other of our partners we're doing a whole book series with, and it's under their brand, their colors, their brand, and we're allowing them to drive incremental revenue, resources, exposure by doing books that way. And I think it's important to understand the difference. With the New York publishers, you don't get the collaboration, nor do you do that with the self-publishers, because all they're doing, they want to make money from you when you pay them to publish their book. And once again, let's make it clear, you do not pay Happy About any money for us to publish your book. We're not a vanity press.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are the various steps involved in having a book published?
Well, I think the first thing, obviously, this assumes that the book is written. I guess, let's step back. There are potentially two, once we say yes to the 6 questions that we want to publish you, there are 2 places you could be. One is the book's not written yet, and the second is the book is written and the manuscript's done. So let's start with the book's not written yet. Some people who have enough time to do it themselves or are going to continue the process over a couple months, 6 months, 8 months, maybe a year, and do it slowly, what we'll do is when you write the first chapter and you have it done, you send it in to us, we'll review it and give you some feedback so that, you know, when the whole book comes in, it's along the lines and style that makes sense. For instance, we use the Chicago style of writing, which means that we want footnotes versus endnotes, you know, things along those lines. If, however, you really need a book in the marketplace and you recognize that a book is really an asset, a tool, not something that's going to drive, that in itself is going to make revenue for you, but it's going to help you drive revenue from your other services, a lot of people decide that they want to have their book ghostwritten. And that's also a way that we're different than other publishers, and that is we have ghostwriters that we'll tap into and we'll manage that process for you. So we'll actually go ahead and write the book for you and publish it. Now, that model does cost money because we have to pay our ghostwriters. But if anyone's interested, we're happy to talk to you about what that is and how to get that done. But eventually, you'll get to the point where you have a manuscript. And the first thing we do with a manuscript, we send it out to our copy editors, who will do a review of the book just to make sure it contextually sounds good and hits the mark. But we'll also do the standard copy edit. And what we'll do is we will send that back to you with the word changes tracking on, so you get to see what the changes are. And we ask you to accept the changes so that you're going to know the changes that happened to your book. At the same time we're doing the copy edit, we'll go out to our cover designers, and we'll ask you for some suggestions and advice, and we'll create a cover for you. Because as soon as the cover is done and you approve it, once again, you approve it, we'll actually create a web page where you can start pre-selling your book. because then you can start, you can start the motion, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 months before your book is out. You now have a book that's out there. It's on the websites. People can see it, and you can direct people to a place where they can pre-purchase your book. Once you give us or send us back your Word document where the changes are corrected, the step that happens after that is content layout, where we take, and this is always a fun part, Dan, we take what looks like garbage in Word and we turn it into something that looks pretty in another program. And so we'll send you that PDF where you get to see what the book looks like. And, of course, this is another opportunity for you to read, review, and approve that text before we go to the next step. After that, once you approve the cover, obviously along the way we have a jacket that needs to get done. You know, if you're going to have a foreword in your book, we need to get the foreword done. We need quotes for the back cover. But once all of that is done, we then go to press. First thing that happens is we'll put the ebook out immediately. And then within 2 to 3 weeks after that, we'll start rolling out the physical book in the book chain. Our distribution channels are the same as the big guys. So we use the largest distributors, which are Ingram and Baker & Taylor. And they have access to 98% of bookstores and libraries across the U.S. We also have a series of e-tailers, so we have 50 e-tailers selling our books. The Happy About site is search engine optimized. We also have a couple of library e-sellers that are selling into the library market, and they touch about 15,000 libraries. So we do a good job distribution. And then we also do some marketing. We've got a nice house list we send our emails to. We've got bloggers who blog on our books when they come out. So we really are here to help you be successful.
Great. That's a lot of good information. Hey, let me ask you a question that came in through email, and that is about the rights. You know, who owns the rights to the intellectual property of the book?
Yeah, so this is one of those negotiable points. So most of the times we try to have them ourselves, because what we care about is if the book gets turned into a movie or the content itself gets used into something that's valuable, we'd like to participate. On the other hand, if you are using the book in other areas that help your business, so any speaking engagements, anything you do, we don't make any money from that. That's all yours. One of our authors, Allison Doyle, has written a book called Internet Your Way to a New Job. Great book. And one of the questions she asked me recently was, well, there's a huge website that wants to serialize the content of her book, and they actually would like 500 to 700 words from each chapter to actually put on their website. Is that okay? Well, typically the New York publishers say no, and I say yes, because if it helps Allison increase her brand, if it helps get her more exposure and subsequently help sell more books, that's a great thing, and I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. This is one of those conversations we have after reading the 6 questions. But if anyone is absolutely interested in maintaining rights to their books, it's something we've done often. So it's not a big deal for us.
Okay. And the next question is, what about buying books back from you that authors can sell at their speeches and conferences? The New York publishers charge about 40 to 50% of the cover price for that, which isn't much better than going to Barnes & Noble and buying it yourself. I'm wondering what your policy is on that.
Yeah, well, we're similar up front, but there's a nice caveat on the back. So until we hit break even on the book, we charge 50% of the cover price. Uh-huh. And then once we hit break even, then there's a 60% discount. So you're basically buying the book at 40% of the cover price. Uh-huh. But let's say our books are selling for $20 each. So, you know, at the beginning, you're buying them for $10 each. Once the book hits profit, you're buying them for $8 each. But let's say it cost us $4 to print. So that's a $4 profit on each book. Well, that profit goes into the profit pool that we split based on the profit percentage. So although you might be paying $8 a book, you're going to get, you know, when we write the check to you quarterly for the royalty checks, you're going to get a piece of that back.
Mm-hmm. And how
that's
do you...
that's a nice added value.
Sure, I see. And what about distributors? You mentioned briefly before that you work with the traditional distributors and library sellers as well. I'm not sure I have a question there. I think I'm just stating that point again, because that's something that self-publishers generally have a hard time getting in the door for. So you've been through that with
people. Yeah, we do a lot of that, although I really think the model of the world of books are changing dramatically. And if you've done a really good job on the social networking piece, you can sell a whole lot more books through the direct channel. And whether or not people go to Amazon or BarnesandNobleBN.com or some other online store, today, and I think these numbers are continually changing, only 40% of books in the world are sold through the bookstore. Mm-hmm. Right? So there are a whole number of other ways that you reach the marketplace. That said, we want to make sure we're with the distributors who are distributing to the bookstores in case people want to pick up the books there, they can.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're coming toward the top of the hour here. What words of advice do you have for us? And also, don't forget, please tell us how we can download that $99 special report, white paper that you've written, and it's absolutely free to the listeners on this call if they type in that special code. So why don't you give the instructions once again to get the download, and then let's finish up with your words to the wise.
Oh, sure. So once again, go to happyabout.info, which is our homepage. On the right-hand side, there's an underlined set of words called Read How Books. It's part of a paragraph that starts with, if you're a large corporation or small business that wants to create thought leadership, click on the place that says Read How Books. You'll get to a page where you can get to buy, or it says buy now. You get to buy a white paper called Delivering Revenue Through Thought Leadership. So click on the buy now. It'll bring you to a shopping cart where you then click on checkout. At that stage, you get to type in a coupon, which will turn the price from 99 to zero. And the coupon is either the words thought leadership, no space, or the word publicity, and it'll turn the price to zero. And then you get to download the book. And by the way, if you like the experience, it's a pretty simple experience. Most of our customers, now I can't say all, but probably 99.5% of our customers are excited about the shopping cart experience and like buying through us. We're big fans of customer service, and we do a good job of making sure your customers are happy with the experience. My words of wisdom, I can tell you from firsthand experience, both my own. I've published about 8 books so far. Started by self-publishing in 93. Had Apprentice Hall Imprint do a book for me in 2000, and I've done a number of books through Happy About. Two, the experiences that my authors have once they get to wear the title author, there's probably nothing more significant in the world besides the fundamentals of food and shelter, you know, so owning a home at some point in time, having getting married, having children. Writing a book is right up there. And so, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to do this when I retire and I find time. And I'll just say to you, there's no reason. If it's going to take 1,000 to 2,000 hours to write a book and 2 to 3 years before you hopefully get published, I can understand why you'd wait. If it's going to take you 100 to 200 hours to write a book and a couple months before you're published, I can just tell you that the time to start is now, because there's nothing better you're going to do to help drive your personal business and drive your success. So we're happy to help. We're your partner to help you succeed. Feel free to download the white paper or ask us for the 6 questions, and that's the right way to start, and I look forward to working with you.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us today, Mitchell Levy of happyabout.info. A little tongue twister there since we're so used to saying .com. This is Dan Janelle, the president of PR Leads, and I'm delighted that Mitch shared so much great information today, and hopefully you now have more information on how you can decide to plot your own publishing ventures. If you're interested in promoting your book after it's published, or even if it's before it's been published, go to prleads.com and read about how we've been able to help more than 3,000 authors, experts, consultants, and doctors and lawyers get publicity in all sorts of daily newspapers and magazines so they can sell more books and promote their consulting practices and sell their speeches and consulting services for higher prices. Once again, that's prleads.com. Thank you. Have a great day. Goodbye.